I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Before I get to this Yankee lineup change, there is a major conspiracy going on between Major League Baseball and Fox. Did you see? I put this out on social media about an hour ago. I don't know if anyone wants to reveal where I got this information from because it's very, very private. Wink, wink. But I received a text message from an unnamed person that said, quote, "So someone close to me works for like a shipping container mobilization unit. The networks rent from them for big events. They got a call at 8 a.m. from Fox and their account canceling their Citi Field order for the World Series while greenlighting their Yankee Stadium and Dodger Stadium orders for full charge. In history of the company and these events, the networks have never, ever done this before with only two wins by a team in a series." Mm. How about that?
Wow.
Very interesting.
Script. You got the script?
The script. Well, here's what I would tell you.
I want to do a deep dive, though. I saw the screenshot. The letter M was next. Whoever sent that has a letter M involved.
Who do you think? Mendy? You think
it was maybe. I don't know.
Mark? Maybe Mark Chertoff sent the email
possibly,
or the text message?
I don't know.
Maybe my friend Mike? Maybe my friend, maybe Mark Milley. You know Mark Milley?
General, I don't know.
The former chief of staff, whatever the hell his title was. Yeah, me and Joe Beningo and Mark Milley, we're all friends. We all on a group chat. Actually, not really. We just met him about five times, and he used to bust our balls.
Nice.
So maybe it's Milley. Millie's got a lot to say.
I would just say whoever the letter M represents also saw receipts knowing this proof. So that's all I would say.
Really? Mm. So this M saw the receipts that Fox decided to very arrogantly do something they've never done before, which is
call the series basically after two wins.
Yeah. They're like calling an election at 7:45 at night. That's what they're doing.
It's over.
And what I would do is, if I'm Carlos Mendoza, and I hope this information falls into the hands of Carlos Mendoza.
Ooh, M. Manfred.
Manfred. Yeah, maybe Rob's just texting me. I think the kids like to say this on social media. Wouldn't it be a shame if information like this went viral? Wouldn't it be a shame if all of a sudden in the locker room before game four of the NLCS, the Mets saw what we've all heard on TV for the last few days, and that is Fox is begging to their gods and saviors that they get a Yankee-Dodger World Series. And I don't mean any ill will towards Yankee fans here. You've done nothing wrong. You're up 2-0. You guys should be confident. But canceling the Citi Field order because the Dodgers went up 2-1, would be a damn shame if Francisco Lindor.
That sounds like motivation to me. That sounds like great motivation.
It does. It sounds like a perfect story on the video.
Let me ruin your plans.
Yes.
MLB.
Yeah.
Maybe Grimace just fat fingered something, and that's not the case.
Maybe the M is the moose in the Grimace.
We don't care if the rest of the country is not going to watch the Subway World Series.
And they won't.
We'll watch.
And they won't. And that's okay. Like, the Mets-Yankees won't get a huge rating. Dodgers-Yankees is probably the highest-rated possible World Series. And there's a very good chance we get it.
Especially because of the stars. I mean, obviously the teams, the stars on the teams.
It's a combination of everything. It's the stars on the team. I think Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are the two biggest stars in all of baseball. Mm-hmm. I think they're number one and two. And then you've got two iconic franchises with a great history against each other that goes all the way back to the 40s. Like, it's awesome. I mean, it's not awesome for me because I'm a Met fan in the NLCS, but I can take a step back and say, wow, that's awesome. I know why Fox wants it. But, yeah, it'd be a damn shame if the Mets saw all this information and used it as, I don't know, a little bulletin board material. Now, speaking of the New York Yankees, they play game three today against the Cleveland Guardians, a rare afternoon game. First time they're playing in the afternoon during this postseason. Clark Schmidt is on the mound against Matthew Boyd. And Matthew Boyd is one of those guys, one of those lefties, that can give the Yankees trouble. Yankees have had troubles against left-handers throughout the season. And I get that, and I understand that. But I kindly disagree with Aaron Boone overthinking it. Because Aaron Boone made two lineup changes today against the left-hander Matthew Boyd that personally I'm not a huge fan of.
Yeah, with that, Evan, the Yankees starting lineups are brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it.
Here's the lineup, and then we can respond to it. Gleyber Torres leading off at second base, no problem. Mm-hmm. Juan Soto batting second and right, great. Oh,
as always.
Aaron Judge bats third and center.
Chalk.
Giancarlo Stanton moved up to the cleanup spot. Something I've been a proponent of, so yes, great. Jazz Chisholm bats fifth at third base. John Birdie is at first base batting sixth, back in the lineup after playing pretty well at first base against Kansas City. Anthony Volpe at short, Alex Verdugo in left, and we welcome back Jose Trevino behind the plate batting ninth for Clark Schmidt. So two things. I like John Birdie. John Birdie looked very solid at first base.
Right.
The time he was over there, I want Anthony Rizzo on the field as much as possible. He is a world champion. He is a part of a team that broke the ultimate curse in all of sports. He's looked very good since he's come back from the IL. I'm not afraid of Matthew Boyd if I'm Anthony Rizzo. I think that's overthinking the lefty situation way too much. And it's not that Birdie's bad. Again, Birdie played really well filling in at first base. It's more, I want Anthony Rizzo on the field at all times. So let's start there. Your thoughts on that decision.
I'm wondering if this has anything to do with what Boone said after game one, that he had a physical, what was it, mental, emotional something, like wear and tear, and that's why he pulled him from the game. I'm wondering if it has something to do with that. Mm. Because honestly, I agree with you, Evan. It doesn't make any sense. Aaron Boone's MO is, I have veterans, and I'm going to play those veterans because they have experience,
right,
and that experience is going to help them in the moments that matter to decide the outcome of this game. The only thing I could think of is that he's getting... Other thing that I would think of is he's getting confident that this game is, or this series is already won. Like, they have the advantage.
No, no.
I'm just saying. In
you
my
can't
mind,
manage that
we,
way.
We have the advantage. Let me get a rest day for Rizzo.
He just had an off day.
I agree, but I don't know why else you would do this.
So full context, here's what Tiki was referring to. After game one, Anthony Rizzo came out of the game in the final inning or two innings. I think it was the final inning.
Right.
And when Aaron Boone was asked about why Rizzo came out,
because
he said
we didn't
this.
See anything in the game.
That's correct. Here's what Aaron said.
He was just kind of physically and emotionally spent there late in the game, and I kind of felt like... Yeah, kind of just felt like I needed to get him out of there and want to make sure I'm managing this properly with him as we go through this. Because, you know, he really hasn't been on the field in over 2 weeks. And but, you know, came through good with the hand. Expect him in there tomorrow.
Or
and thought he had some really good at-bats.
Maybe he had a setback and he's just not saying anything.
Yeah, my guess is he's overthinking it. He's just overthinking the lefty-lefty-righty-righty thing. Anthony Rizzo... obviously, as a left-hand hitter, has always been more productive against righties, but his numbers don't dip. They don't dip to some kind of crazy level. I still trust him out there defensively more, especially with the experience he has. This is not one of those scream and yell, you're an idiot moves. This isn't J.D. Martinez versus Jesse Winker. It's just a move I disagree with. I would want Anthony Rizzo out there as often as humanly possible.
We could see Rizzo in this game in a third or fourth inning.
Of course we could.
And that's probably why Birdie's also batting sixth. I think the moment that you get the lefty out of there, Rizzo's coming in this game.
No, I think you're probably right about that. I'm just saying, like, to me, I would start Rizzo. The Guardians have three lefties in their bullpen, so it's not as if once... Boyd comes out, there won't be another situation where a lefty's in. Do you disagree, by the way, Sean?
I don't, put it this way, I actually dislike Trevino playing more than I dislike Birdie playing more in this spot.
But do you dislike Birdie playing over Rizzo, or it doesn't matter?
It doesn't matter. It's indifferent, okay. Because, by the way, I'm okay with giving Rizzo any amount of time when he needs it off, still coming back from these broken fingers. And I go back to the division series. Anthony Rizzo, I love.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of, and he's obviously proven his bat is still there. The Yankees didn't lose anything in the division series at first base with the Birdie Cabrera platoon. So it's not a crazy, crazy fall off.
Yeah, I think to me it's more... Anthony Rizzo's one of the rare guys in the Yankee batting order who's a champion.
Yeah,
he's done it before. And there's something about him. I felt this way when they acquired him a few years ago. And maybe it's the aura of being on that specific team, the 2016 Cup team. There's something about him in a big spot. I trust him. I believe in him. And so, again, it's not end of the world, you're an idiot kind of move. It's more, hey, if it's me, I just want him out there every day. As long as he's healthy, I'd want Anthony Rizzo playing first base.
No doubt about it. The other side of this, and I know Wells has not been hitting lefties at all, I'm very worried that when Cleveland gets on the base pass, they're going to run wild on Trevino.
So your big issue, because that's the other decision that was made, Austin Wells has not hit over the last few games. There is a lefty on the mound. Though, when they faced Cole Reagans in the Kansas City series, Austin Wells played.
Yeah.
So it's not like this is the first time the Yankees are facing a left-hander.
I come back to, ironically, the same argument you made about Alvarez in the first part of this. Could Trevino, you know, give you a decent at-bat and rip a single where Wells didn't tonight? Absolutely. It's been a while. I'm sorry. I've seen enough of Trevino where those stolen bases added up in big spots this year. I know it's not Stroman on the mound. It's Clark Schmidt. I am worried Jose Ramirez gets on that they're going to run, and that could create another run on Trevino or against the Yankees. That's the difference tonight.
Yeah.
I would just leave it alone. Move Wells down in the order then. He doesn't have to hit cleanup.
It's funny. I'm confirming this to be true, and I just did. This is why I score all the games, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Wells has two hits in the postseason. He's got two. They both happened in the division series. Both of those hits against left-handed pitching.
Bam!
Bang! Obviously not a huge sample size. I think that, like, I made the argument the other day that I wanted Giancarlo to hit cleanup, and I think that's a great move by Aaron Boone. I think he should stick with this, lefty-righty, doesn't matter. I think what you got to do when you have such a locked-in guy in Stanton, and you've got Soto and Judge hitting back-to-back, I do not want to give any rotation a break.
Right.
And Austin Wells,
jump on him.
He's like a break in a weird way.
Well,
compared to Giancarlo and Aaron Judge,
compared to Giancarlo in the postseason, it's a break. But in the regular season, Austin Wells was exactly what you wanted in your cleanup spot.
He was great for a period of time.
He hasn't been that in the postseason, obviously. What are you talking about?
But it is a break. Like, think about it.
Without a doubt, it is now. But again, you hope he comes back to what his best self is in the postseason.
Yeah.
Not all guys do that though. A different level of pressure.
I would play Austin Wells. I'm with you, Sean. I think sometimes we get too nuts about the lefties.
No, this feels like overthinking. It does.
I don't think we need to overthink. The Yankees are in command of this series. They're up 2-0. Go play your guys. Play the guys that brung you. And Anthony Rizzo, I know, maybe didn't necessarily bring them with the season that he had.
Well, neither did John Birdie Mitchell here.
That's right. John Birdie didn't bring him either. Are you optimistic going into Game 3, Sean?
I very much am. I think you get six really good innings from Clark Schmidt. Won't be shutout innings, but I think the Yankees are going to score another like six runs.
I have to ask you a question, and this is such an arrogant question. And so I want to be careful how I explain this, because you take nothing for granted in this sport. This series is not over.
No,
this is an important game. It's Game 3 of the ALCS. The Yankee series is not over. The Met series is not over. So I just want to be very careful as I pose a question that I think is a good question, which is there any concern if they win tonight, they're going to wrap this thing up way too quick, and then you're going to have way too much time off, which has affected teams in the past?
I mean, but didn't you feel like that going into the Royals series?
Yeah.
It just felt like, man, you haven't played in a while, man.
Yeah, but I felt like the fans lost more momentum than the team actually did.
True, but when the fan, I don't want to overinflate like the fan voice in New York, but I feel like we didn't talk about the Yankees for 2 weeks.
I felt that way, dude.
The Mets played 10 games between
them. It's true. That was part of the problem. So the Yankees are off for a week. Meanwhile, the Mets are playing like five insane games.
Here's what I think helps. Number one, the bullpen that's been so dynamite, I think it's great shutting them down for a week. Also, like we just brought up, what a few more days for Anthony Rizzo off with those fingers, not help drastically too. While, by the way, the Mets and Dodgers could beat up on each other. And if it is the Dodgers, let Freddie Freeman's ankle fall off before the World Series. I'm good with that.
You know, it's funny. So in 2015, the Mets were in that spot. They swept the Chicago Cubs. And there was a longish series between Kansas City and Toronto. And we talked about this. Yeah. Hey, is it a problem? Now, looking back on it, you can look back and say, hey, it really hurt them the way it hurt the Rockies in 2007. But in the moment, I will give you the same answer I said about the Mets. And I'll say it about the Yankees. Just win the freaking series. Okay?
Right.
I'll take the rest. I'll take the bullpen getting a break. And I'll take the risk that maybe you're flat because you haven't played in a week. Because that's a lot better than sweating out a 6 or 7 game series against a very dangerous team. So my answer to the question that I posed to you guys is, no, I'm not worried. Sweep their asses.
Yeah, I want to pop champagne tomorrow. Let's go.
Also,
Jack Curry, 38 minutes ago, Boone said Birdie is starting at first and Trevino a catcher because of the lefty. Once Boyd is replaced, Jack Curry's expectation, Wells and Rizzo will both be in the game.
No, and I think that's to be expected. Now, keep in mind, the Guardians have three lefties in their bullpen, so you can replace them immediately when Cade Smith is in the game, but they still may end up having to face a lefty later. And for that reason, that's why I'm like, why would I even mess around? I would just start both guys.
And always dangerous to do that with the catcher, too, because you never know.
Yeah, you put yourself in a tricky spot in case somebody gets hurt. You don't have a third guy. Let's go to John in Garden City. How you doing today, John?
How you doing? First of all, Rizzo is 2-for-3 against Class A, so keep that in your pocket if he wants to slide him into a spot late in the game. And I think the Indians have made a mistake not getting their closer in just for even a little work, get his feet wet.
Maybe.
That's one
fair
thing.
Maybe.
Number two, I don't want to burst your bubble, Evan, but they're really dissing the Indians, not the, the Guardians. And I'm going to tell you why. The Yankees and Mets play in the same series. So they could move that thing across town, that production thing. They're not dissing the Mets. They're saying, we know the Guardians are going to lose, and now I'm not going to touch the money and say that as a Yankee fan. But I think that's what's going on. No, also,
that's not what's happening. First of all, John, I appreciate you trying to be rational. But no, that's not what's going on. Fox and MLB are disrespecting the Mets, and the Mets should know about this so they can use it as bulletin board material. Stop bursting our bubble,
two more small things.
Yes.
Number one, the jersey you wear, it's so in front of your face, I don't know how you're not seeing it. You ask your partner for a Virginia College jersey, and you rock the Tiki Barber jersey because, you know, this way you go in supporting your partner.
That's
the jersey you should wear to the game.
It's a great call.
And the last
great
thing
call,
is,
John.
I really, really hope. Look, I'd like the Yankees to be home for the four games, which means the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think going to Dodger Stadium, if they get there, keeping my fingers crossed.
Sure.
It's warm. It's better for the older players for the Yankees. Judge can exercise that ghost from out in right field there when he banged his foot. And I feel like the karma might be better. I think the Mets fans and the Mets as an opponent are going to be so much more invested in this and so much of a tougher opponent because of the environment.
That's a very interesting point. And so let's answer this. Forget the Mets fan perspective. I'm going to be an IBO in answering this because the Mets are down 2-1 and no Met fan should be examining a World Series opponent. You're foolish if you are. Yankees are up 2-0. You're feeling good. You're getting set for a game three. I understand kind of eyeing the side view. What I would tell you is if the New York Yankees play the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series, and the reason I know this is I asked this question in August. I asked it to Sean. I asked it to Yankee fans. I said, hey, guys, just curious. What's a successful season? I don't know if you remember that discussion, Sean, but we had it.
We have a lot of discussions.
But the difference between you and I is I remember all of them. But I asked, and you may not have been here that day, T, because we were all taking vacation. But I said, all right, what's a successful season? And I respected what Sean said. He said, look, they got to get to a World Series.
Get to.
If they lose to the Dodgers specifically, it would suck, but I understand. You know, they still got to the World Series. They lost to the betting favorites. I'd be disappointed, but it's very tough to call it a failure in losing to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Especially after they spent $500 million.
100%. Beat you for Yamamoto.
Yep.
Totally get it, right? And I think that still stands. Like, if we are analyzing the Yankees losing a World Series to the Dodgers, they'll be angry Yankee fans, but it's tough to walk away from that and say, what a disaster! If you lose to the Mets, and it doesn't matter the roster, and it doesn't matter the magic, you can't live with that.
Fire everyone.
And so, I get where he's coming from, that there may be, and for the players, a more carefree, hey, we're in the World Series, let's see what we can do, versus we can't lose to the Mets.
Right, we're the dog also.
Yes.
It's easier to play if you're the underdog.
And I think they would be.
Because it feels like you're being disrespected, even though you're not.
Right.
It's just the reality of how you approach it when the other team is supposed to beat you.
And look, I know Jeter said this, and 2000 is very different than 2024. I acknowledge that. Jeter said, boy, this was like, we had everything to lose. We can't lose to the Mets. I think there's some similarities to that, even 24 years later. So, yeah, if you're analyzing an opponent and you're taking out the emotions of going to every game or making fun of your friends or how sweet it would feel to beat them, there is a lot more to lose in playing the Mets than the Dodgers, and players may feel that. Aaron Judge may feel that, knowing, oh, my God, I can't, on my Yankee legacy, have losing the Subway World Series. Losing to the Dodgers would suck, but it's also happened.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And by the way, I watched last night with my gut telling me, root for the Mets. You want the Mets in the World Series. And not to say the Mets couldn't beat the Yankees, just because that's the case. You want the team that you feel like is the better match.
And by the way, I don't think that's trolling to say, yeah, I think the Dodgers are better. Bring on the Mets. Like, I get that. I mean,
it could be Dodgers Diamondbacks, and I would say the same thing about the Diamondbacks.
They still got to get there. So calm yourself.
Yeah,
the Yankees?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, we're there, T.
If they lose today, would you get nervous?
Nah. I would be annoyed that I put the broom video out and they didn't sweep, but no, I wouldn't get nervous.
If they lose today and tomorrow, would you get nervous?
talk to me tomorrow with that.
Okay. No, I'm just curious. You got one hell of a day here on WFN. Matinee Yankee playoff baseball, the pregame show in less than an hour. A 5:08 first pitch from what I still call Jacobs Field as the Cleveland now Guardians take on the New York Yankees in Game 3 of the American League Championship Series. More thoughts on what the Yankees have to do to take a commanding 3-0 lead. But it is Thursday, and because of the Yankees, we went into heavy negotiations, and we did secure an early visit from the ever-popular Bad Tiki. And Bad Tiki is, of course, brought to you by Security Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. Shop 24/7 at securitydodge.com, and come get some. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being and not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Welcome back, Bad Tiki!
Don't give me that welcome back, Bad Tiki nonsense, Evan. Huh. How can you pretend to be all happy and normal when you know there is a catastrophe on the horizon batten down the hatches?
Wait, what are you talking about, Bad Tiki? You alluding to the Mets? They're only down 2-1, man. The series is far from over.
Not so fast, Positive Tiki. You sound pathetic. Almost as pathetic as whiny, constipated Tommy. But no, I am not talking about the Mets. This inevitable disaster is much bigger than anyone is expecting. This weekend is going to be so bad, the color green might be outlawed in the tri-state area forever.
Oh, I agree with you, Bad Tiki. The Jets aren't looking too hot, and green is ugly anyway.
Shut it, slobbered De Niro. You should be the most worried about what is coming. Oh. Marash, you especially will not survive this cataclysmic event, and I hate to say it, but this might even be the end for Bad Tiki. Bad Tiki out for good, R.I.P. Bad Deed Tiki.
Well, what is it, Bad Tiki? What's coming?
Great question, Evan. It's the return of New York's most hated son himself, Saquon Barkley. Board up the windows. Secure the outdoor furniture. Don't turn your back for a second. Hurricane Snaquan is coming to MetLife Stadium, running for the hills.
Oh, come on, Bad Tiki. The Giants have shown they can play some defense. So what if Saquon is just another football game?
Wrong, regular Tiki. Fake Quan Backstabbly is going to run wild in East Rutherford. Someone stop him. Hide the women and children. Quick, Michelle Scaly C. Come get some. Backstab Quan loserly knocked out the power grid. Stock up on emergency supplies. Buy all the toilet paper at Costco. Hurry, buy all the chicken bakes. Buy the double chonk chocolate cookies. That gets a boom. The humanity.
Bad Tiki, I have to side with regular Tiki here. The Eagles look terrible, and Saquon is soft. The G-men are going to beat this team.
You're right, Sean. If you man up and eat Saquon Barkley before he has a chance to touch the ball, the Giants have a chance to lose by only 40. Remember when he was dead to us, regular Tiki? Those were the good old days. Now he's coming to kill us all, and it's all your fault. I hope you're happy with what you've done, regular big mouth Tiki.
Stop it, Bad Tiki. What do you think he's going to have, some like career day or something like that?
Evan, I did the calculations. That little liar, pants on fire, is going to have 80 carries for 900 yards and 21 touchdowns. You'll be lucky if New York doesn't sink after sack fraud is done stomping a mud hole in the Giants. Hop aboard the Bad Tiki rescue boat. I'm a great swimmer. Tall, great swimmer, Bad Tiki, to the rescue.
Bad Tiki, respectfully, I have to disagree. You're making this too big of a deal now.
How about this for a big deal? My friends in Canton have already reserved a spot for Pretenquan Barkley's bust after this game. By the way, Tiki, they said it's the last one for running backs. Can you believe that? They already asked me to speak at the induction ceremony. I'm honored.
Okay, we get it. You think he's going to destroy the Giants, but why do you keep calling him all these weird names, man?
Excellent question, Evan. While he is going to break the backs of the Giants and all of their fans, the fact of the matter is, the man is a slippery little snake. What he did to Giants fans is reprehensible and, frankly, cowardly. Mythquan Barkley is delusional if he thinks the fans won't boo him. I will personally be there with my 30,000 tikis to give him a warm MetLife welcome. Boo! Boo! You, Saquon! Cheesesteak suck! Philly sucks! We wish you didn't leave. We are so sorry! Don't hurt us, Saquon! Please! Please come back. I need a hug, Saquon. Wah! I miss you.
Oh, man, bad Tiki. I see what's happening. Are you okay, bro? Do you need a minute, man?
Shut up, Evan. I've had enough of you and all your questions. Don't you have a Rico Bronier podcast to do while you don't pay attention to the Road You Freak show? Anyway, I have to go now. Thanks for wasting my time again. You're dead to me. You're all dead to me. I'll see you in court. Bad Tiki out.
Court? Court? What does that mean?
It kind of scares me. Bad Tiki is a sentient AI-generated being not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFN Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment and engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. And I guess we'll hear from him next Thursday in his normal slot, which is 4:30. By the way, tomorrow, and we will do this right around, I'd say, let's go with 5:08. That seems like a perfect time to do this. We will all unveil our official Saquon Barkley versus the New York Giants predictions. Mm-hmm. Now, we already heard from Bad Tiki. I think he said 90 carries for 800 yards. I'm going to take the under on that. Mm-hmm. But by the way, is that even mathematically possible?
No, it was 80 carries for 900 yards.
Oh, I got it backwards.
And 21 touchdowns.
That's what it was.
Hey, listen, if Dexter Lawrence doesn't play, it's on the table.
At what point in that game would you leave, Sean?
If I didn't have a suite, probably in the first quarter.
Would you have left the Met game last night?
Would I?
Yeah.
If I were a Met fan or just in general?
Yeah.
No, I don't like big games. I got to see everything out to the end.
See, Tommy was there, and Tommy deserves credit. He stayed the entire game. Mm. He weirdly sat behind me and didn't say anything, but that's okay.
No, I did say something to you.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
What'd you say?
You texted our group chat, has positive Tommy left early.
Correct, I did say that.
And then I texted you back. Turn around.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, it's not.
We need to have a conversation about that. That is really weird to tell someone to turn around.
Did you not know he was right behind you?
I did not know he was right behind me.
Yes, he did, because...
No, I didn't. I swear. No. I did not know you were behind me. What I said was, when I saw that text message, is I said, that's a weird statement.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I'm not looking around. I'm going to stare at the carnage on the field until this game is over. Because I always find it weird. It's a pet peeve of mine. You're not the only one. When people are like, hey, stand up and wave. I'm right over here. And it's like, do we really need to do this? It's awkward. So when he said, I'm right behind you, I thought he was behind me like in the press box or behind me standing in the last row. I did not know until the game was over that he was literally sitting right behind me.
Like the row behind you?
Yes. What a freak.
The fella, nice guy, listener to the station, left a little early, but it was 19.
They all left a little early.
Yeah, and the trains were still packed, by the way. The subways were a nightmare. And then I said, turn around. He didn't. And then when the game ended, I didn't even get a goodbye. Evan just like muttered something under his breath to me and then left.
No, I did not. You know what I said to him?
What did you say?
I couldn't even hear you.
I said, wow, you stayed the whole game. You deserve a lot of credit. Mm. And then I left. What was I supposed to hold your hand?
No, but I think there's a little bit of like, you know, hey, man, see you tomorrow.
No. I'll tell you
why. Hey, this is my dad. You know,
you've already met my dad. He doesn't like you, so why make things awkward?
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. You've already met him. And by the way, after the Mets lost 8-0, I'm sorry. I'm not in the mood for any pleasantries, especially from someone I see every day.
It's just a game, Evan.
Don't do this.
You wouldn't even turn around and say hello.
Now, I have bigger issues with that.
Why do I need to say hello? We're at work together every day. What is it, special that I see you outside of work? Why?
Yes.
Why?
It's a special occasion. It's the Mets.
I just saw them 2 hours
in the
earlier.
NLCS.
Okay, but we just looked at each other for 4.5 hours. Now I got to go like we haven't seen each other in years?
Casual conversation.
I think Evan should have just muttered, not so positive now, are you? That would have been nice. By the way, I just want to rewind 90 seconds. You said I find it so dopey when people call, hey, look up, look behind you.
Correct.
Wait. You hate that, right?
Yeah.
Tiki, do you remember what he was doing to us in Philly when we were in the suite and we first arrived?
That's right.
I did do that. Damn
where
it.
Where are you?
Yeah, hypocrite.
You're playing by your own set of rules. Wave.
You're right. You know why I did that, though? There was a reason behind that. So Loogie and I were sitting upstairs in Philadelphia for Knicks Sixers game 6. And Tiki and Sean were in a suite.
Mm-hmm.
I take it as a badge of honor. And I think Loogie does too. I take it as a badge of honor that we're regular guys. We're sitting here in the upper deck and we're cool.
Yeah.
Whatever they call that section. So I wanted you to wave so I could take a picture of how bougie you two were and then put it out on social media.
Hey,
so it wasn't really I need to wave to you. It was more I need to see you so I could take a picture.
Don't discredit the way me and Tiki live our lives.
I think it's great that you live your lives that way. Like, that's fine. I don't want to do that. I want to sit upstairs in the upper deck. Okay. I want to hang out with all those loser Knicks fans. It was a lot of fun.
Sure. Tell us anything.
All I know is I will say this again. It's Thursday. And I'll be very polite about this. And this goes to you, Teak. This goes to you, Sean. Does not go to Tommy. The Knicks did their jobs. The Metsies did their jobs. Are the New York Giants going to put the big boy pants on and do their job Sunday at MetLife Stadium? Because the entire city is relying on you to keep up the tradition started by the Knicks. I get kudos. Continued by the Mets. And finished by the New York Football Giants.
A wise person on this show once said, I think it's important for one of us on the show to always be at some of these big events.
I said that. That's true.
Did.
To steal a line from Positive Tommy, Giants fans, I'm coming to the Swamp on Sunday, and I will lead us. We're finishing this job. Andrew Thomas be damned.
You better do it, man. I'm just warning you. Better get it done. We'll make our picks for tonight's Thursday night football game in just a few minutes, plus a lot more thoughts on the Yankees and the big debate amongst Met fans. Should Francisco Alvarez play after his disastrous game last night and really his disastrous playoff run? Let's go to Eric in Garfield. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Evan, Tiki, how's it going, guys?
It's good.
Evan, big fan. Tiki, thanks for all the Giants memories.
Appreciate it, bud.
Appreciate it.
Evan, also, thank you for letting us know not to to give you a high five if it's cold out. We know how you keep your hands warm.
That's a good point. It's a good point.
Hey, shake your hand, man.
Nah, never mind. I'm good. Fist pound.
Yeah, I'm good, Evan. I'll just wait. But two quick points. I mean, I think how we got here for the Mets is that Mendoza and Stearns were always quick to pull the trigger on guys who weren't performing. You saw it all year long. They DFA guys, they would start, you know, guys like Iglesias from the minors. And I feel like now that it's playoffs, they owe, they feel like they owe these guys playing time. I think this leads to McNeil. I mean, I feel like he should be starting right now at this point. Iglesias has not been hitting. But I think the biggest thing for me is Alvarez. I don't think anybody is talking about how terrible the run game has been for the opponents against us. I mean, it feels like Little League, anybody can double steal, anybody can steal a base. And I don't know how much of that is on the pitchers. I know some of our pitchers are not the
a
best.
A lot of it is. A lot of it is on the pitching, yes.
But, I mean, at that point, I feel like having Torrens there, if Alvarez is not hitting, I know that you said Quintana is pitches well with him. But when you get, it hasn't come back to bite us yet. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen in the series where there's going to be a double steal with two outs and there's going to be a little bloop single and it's going to be two runs. And it's going to be the reason why.
No, absolutely a fair concern that the run game is a very dangerous thing that teams have taken advantage of against the Mets. And could very well happen with Shohei Ohtani, who stole how many bases this year? The weird thing going on with Shohei, it's such a weird, odd phenomenon that he's on this streak where when he comes up with nobody on base, he can't get a hit.
Yeah.
He's like, what is it now, 0 for his last, like, 20 or something like that with nobody on base? But then when he comes up with guys on base, he's freaking automatic.
Right.
It's really, really, really strange. And the reason I bring that up is because of his point. Ohtani is a threat to steal bases, but if he's not getting on base with nobody on, then there's no threat because he's not in position to steal a base. I think all of the critiques on Alvarez are completely fair. But the thing y'all are missing is that while it's all fair about the run game, and it's all fair about how lost he looked at the plate, and it's all fair about the over-aggressiveness defensively, like we saw yesterday, like when he trucked Severino, or maybe it wasn't Severino, it was about five games ago, trucked someone else on a ground ball that was right in front of the catching, right in front of the plate, I still believe that tonight, the priority needs to be maximizing the best out of Jose Quintana.
Well, I mean, that's your most direct way to winning, is keeping the score low. And giving your Mets, meaning a chance to win the game, whatever, in every way they find a way to do it. It's been heroically a lot of these, you know, last four or five wins, and that's kind of troubling. And it should tell you something, and really probably be a warning because it's so hard to do that over and over again. It's better if you can manufacture big innings. You know, they trickle in one or two runs, and then it turns into six. It's harder to just hit dramatic home runs the way that the Mets have done it.
It's also harder to do it against the Dodgers. Like, it's one thing to hold other teams down and keep it 1-0 or 2-0 till the sixth or seventh inning. But as you saw last night, they were able to keep it 2-0 till the sixth. And then finally, and of all guys, it's the ninth place hitter who's this automatic clutch player. And he's behind in the count. And it's one mistake. And all of a sudden, it ain't 2-0 anymore. And a part of why you put yourself in a position for that to happen is because they didn't score any runs. If you track out a run or two and it's a 2-2 game, it's a lot different.
Right.
That home run certainly could still be a game winner, but 4-0 felt like they were down by 10 runs. That's the way it felt when he went
deep. Especially because they just weren't productive. They just weren't getting on base, and they weren't being, well, they were getting on base, but they weren't taking advantage of getting on base.
They were doing that early in the game. They got on base in the second when they had bases loaded one out. They got on base in the third when they had two on and two out. But then in the fourth and fifth inning, they did nothing. And then they had another great opportunity in the sixth. That was right after the Kiki Hernandez home run, and Jose Iglesias bounced into a double play, which was another killer moment in this game. Because at 4-0, bottom of the sixth, 2-1, nobody out, well, you're a base hit away from making it a game again. And unfortunately, Iglesias, who's really struggled offensively, bounced into that double play. Steven is in Harlem. Good afternoon, Steven.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Man, hard to get on here when everyone's in the CS. I want to jump on real quick. Evan, I think you really misquoted Jeter. He didn't say, you know, there's everything to lose when playing the Mets. He said, there's no way we're going to lose. This is the Mets.
Yeah, but isn't that the same thing, though? I do agree.
I do agree 2024 is different, and for the last few weeks, I've been trying to get on and just tell everybody, be careful what you wish for. Everyone at this point is super dangerous. I mean, if you want to take the Guardians outside of that list, that's fine. But, I mean, starting with probably a week or two ago, every day's a sweat, and these things change on a dime. But I think everyone should really enjoy this, and 2024 is a lot different than 2000. I think it would be a lot more competitive. No matter who the Yankees play.
I think it would be a lot more competitive, and you're not facing like a dynasty on the line. Like, if you think about it, not that that would shortchange the dynasty, but having won the title in 96, 98, and 99, I think there would have been something, too. If you lose in 2000 to the Mets, not that it wipes away the great accomplishments of three world championships, but it would have put a major dark cloud over that dynasty. Is that not fair to say, Sean?
Yeah, it definitely would.
Okay, good. I'm not speaking out of turn.
No, of course. That would have been the worst.
And that's where there was so much on the line in a World Series like that. And honestly, everything should be on the line anyway. Like, one thing I feel strongly about with the Mets, and I hope we're not having this discussion in a few days, but I know we may, is there is going to be people, just like they did with the Knicks, who after the Mets season ends, if they don't win a World Series, they're gonna clap. They're going to applaud. They're going to say, thank you. I had fun. And while I get it, it was fun, and it was surprising, and all of that, it's a missed opportunity. And you don't know when you're going to get back. And for anyone, especially you, Teak, who thinks I have agendas one way or the other, I'm going to say the exact same thing I said to New York Knicks fans when you celebrated losing in the second round. I'm pissed off, and I don't know if I'm ever going to come back. And I said that to Knicks fans. You didn't want to listen to me. I'm just a hater.
But you can't.
I'll say it about the Mets, too. I will.
You feel that way about the Mets?
Of course I can.
How?
Because you don't know when you're going to have the magic again. You don't know when you're going to have everything working your way. You don't know.
But it's not, I mean, yes, it's magic. But magic is like BS. It's nonsense. It's a created explanation for guys playing good baseball in moments and guys being clutch. It's not magic. It's hard ass work. It almost is a disservice and a discount to how hard it is to do what they do, to say, oh, this is magical. It's preordained. It's fate. It's blah, blah, blah nonsense. These guys worked their asses off to be at this spot, especially after how they started. And it wasn't just play. It was like emotional fortitude and belief in themselves. So to chalk it up to magic is stupid to me.
So what do you want
to
call it?
Building a good team.
What do you want to call the Diamondbacks last year then? What do you want to call them?
Got hot at the right time.
Okay.
Right? It's not magic. It's just you get hot.
That's fine.
And so to sit here and believe that the Mets, if they don't win the World Series or at least get to the World Series this year, that they're, we're not going to see that again. I think that's you, we haven't even seen David Stearns do anything
yet. I'm not telling you that they won't. I'm telling you that you don't know if they will. The Philadelphia Phillies.
I'd put money on it they'd get back to the NLCS after what we saw this season.
You may be right.
Especially with how the moves that David Stearns made. Like these little moves that nobody thought were anything. Right? Who the hell is Jose Iglesias? Who the hell is Jesse Winker? Like, why do we want those guys?
So why do you assume that'll happen again?
Because he's a smart baseball man.
How many times did the Brewers get to the NLCS?
How much money did the Brewers have?
No, they didn't have the same money.
How much money did the Brewers spend?
But money doesn't guarantee
anything. How many times do they have Francisco Alvarez or Pete Alonso, even though he might not be here next year? Like, who? Kodai Senga. How many times did they go get that guy?
Are the Dodgers in the World Series every year?
Yeah, but they spend $1 billion.
That's my point. I'm countering your point with money. Like, my point to you is it doesn't guarantee you anything. And if you don't want to call it magic, that's fine, because you're right. Magic implies they aren't doing something special.
Right.
They're doing something special, but I think when you have an opportunity, like the 2015 Mets did, or the 2023 Diamondbacks did, you got to seal the deal. And I'm not going to sit here, and maybe it's wrong, and maybe you'll yell at me, maybe positive Tommy will say, cheer up, it was a wonderful year, be positive. I'm just telling you that when you miss out on an opportunity, it sucks.
The Diamondbacks,
you just can't assume you're going to be back.
The Diamondbacks are not the Mets. They don't have the same owner as the Mets.
I think Tiki's very passionate about this, and I just want one question answered, Tiki.
What's that?
What do you think is more likely to believe that really exists? The magic and aura around the Mets or aliens?
That's a great question.
That's a great question. You have to pick one.
Aliens don't exist.
He's so definitive.
At least not intelligent alien life. I'm sure that there is primordial life somewhere in the galaxy.
So I know that working
and that stupid signal that Evan sent us, it's just some interference from some distant quasar or something.
I know that when you work with a partner, you're like, man, when this happens, it's going to be amazing. Like, working with Craig, I said, boy, selfishly, I want to see his face if the Nets have to win an NBA title. Working with Beningo, it was, oh my God, can you imagine that show after the Jets win a Super Bowl? Like, we all have that, right? With Tiki Barber, it is that day we sign on the air, hopefully in the middle of February. It's a slow day. And we have to lead the show with the number one story in the world. And that is, yeah, so those intelligent aliens came down. And Tiki has to do a mea culpa. I'm sorry. I got it wrong. I can't believe I was so wrong about this. Like, that's my dream show.
And my dream is him saying, I never said that.
No, I'll admit it. I just don't. First of all, the likelihood of an alien race.
Here we go again.
I don't know how many light years away. Finding us is like, it's so small.
This bothers him so
much. It really does.
I know.
It really does. Have you looked at images of the Earth from a light year away? Right?
Yes, I've looked at it. So to answer your question, Sean, me implying that the Mets have magic doesn't bother him nearly as much as the aliens.
I knew it would.
We do have a football game tonight. Our pick is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. Bud Light, easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy. By ELEC 825, Building Our Future. By Samuel Institute for Pain Management. Visit SamuelPain.com. And by Saks Underwear with the ballpark pouch. Right now, our standings have me and Lugie tied in first place, 16-16. Tiki Barber only 4 games behind at 12-20, and then 7 games behind first place, Sean Morash at 9-23. Sean is the only one, though, that got the Jet Bill game correct. Tonight, we've got a Thursday nighter between the Denver Broncos and the New Orleans Saints. The Denver Broncos are laying 2.5, and I'll kick it off. I don't mind. The Saints are so broken. They are so broken right now.
It feels like it, man.
That, like, the only way I could convince myself, because I think the number jumps out at people like, oh, my God, the Broncos are laying 2.5. That doesn't make any sense. But I was thinking about it football-wise, knowing the injuries that the Saints are dealing with, being without Olave, being without a real quarterback. No offense to Rattler.
It looks like Rashid Shaheed.
He's out, too.
He might be out for the year.
For the year.
Yeah. So their two best wide receivers are out. And really, the only thing I could think of is, all right, Alvin Kamara's got to have, like, the greatest game of his career. I trust the Denver Broncos to slow him down. We've seen it before. So in game number one, the only game of the evening, I'm going to lay the 2.5 with the Denver Broncos. I can't convince myself of football reasons while the Saints are going to pull this off. Give me Denver -2.5. Sean?
I'll go. The thing nobody's remembering about this game, Sean Payton returning to take on the Saints with his former defensive coordinator he knows everything about. Two rookie quarterbacks, who knows? Good luck with props in this game. Sean Payton's rubbing his hands together. He wants a piece of the Saints, even if he left them on his own. I'm laying the 2.5 as well here with Denver. But I will say New Orleans will find the end zone. A little sneaky prop bet for you. Forster Moreau, +850 to score a touchdown. How you doing?
Tommy Lugauer.
So when I look at the line, I think a lot of people are going to look at that and say, 2.5, I got to lay that on the road with Bo Nix. That's not really what you're doing here. You're laying 2.5 with the Denver defense against Spencer Rattler. So I'm with you guys. I like Denver laying the 2.5.
Well, I'm going to go opposite of all you guys. A home team as a home dog, that just troubles me. It's like motivating. Yeah, Sean Payton knows this New Orleans Saints offense and defense because basically the Saints have the same staff for the last 30 years, it feels like. So he knows them well. But I just think there's something about Spencer Rattler that we saw last week that's going to give them an edge. He doesn't necessarily need the big plays, but play smart, and I know that because I just called their game, Bo Nix can be a disaster. So give me the Saints getting 2.5 at home.
And that's a game you'll hear right here on The Fan after Yankee baseball, correct? Right here on WFAN.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.